Let's go to the Lord in prayer in our prayer of illumination this morning. Gracious and merciful God, we come to you in prayer this morning and we just thank you for being present with us in worship. We thank you for the friendships that we share and the love that's present here in this chapel. We feel your presence this morning on the first Sunday of Advent. Lord, be with us as we read your word and share in a brief message and share in the table that you have given us as your bounty. Lord, we are forever grateful for the life that you gave us. Help us to be so understanding of the sacrifice that you've given us, but more importantly, help us to share in that sacrifice with each other and the world. Lord, that's what this morning is about. That's what Christmas season is about. Be with us now as we read your word out of Hebrews 6, and be with us as we share a brief message on the meaning of hope, which is truly found before me in the table of sacrament. Amen. Our reading this morning comes out of Hebrews 6. We're going to read all the way through 20, verses 1 through 20. I'm in the New Living Translation. So if you're following along in a different translation, that's okay. Just hang on for the ride. Let's go and see what the Lord has to say here this morning. So let us stop going over the basic teachings about Christ again and again. Let us go on instead and become mature in our understanding. Surely we don't need to start again with the fundamental importances of repenting from evil deeds and placing our faith in God. You don't need further instruction about baptisms, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And so, God willing, we will move forward to further understanding. For it is impossible to bring back to repentance those who are once enlightened, those who have experienced the good things of heaven and shared in the Holy Spirit, who have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the power of the age to come, and who then turn away from God. It is impossible to bring such people back to repentance by rejecting the Son of God. They themselves are nailing Him to the cross once again and holding Him up to the public shame. When the ground soaks up the falling rains and bears a good crop for the farmer, it has God's blessing. If it is useless, the farmer will soon condemn that field and burn it. Dear friends, even though we are talking this way in this scripture this morning, we really don't believe it applies to you and me. We are confident that you are meant for better things, things that come with salvation. For God is not unjust. He will not forget how hard you have worked for Him and how you have shown your love to Him by caring for other believers, as you still do today. Our great desire is that you will keep on loving others as long as life lasts in order to make certain that what you hope for will come true. Then you will not become spiritually dull and indifferent. Instead, you will follow the example of those who are going to inherit God's promises because of their faith and their endurance. For example, there was God's promise to Abraham. Since there was no one greater to swear by, God took an oath in His own name. And He said, "I will certainly bless you, and I will multiply your descendants beyond number." Then Abraham waited patiently, and he received what God had promised. Now, when people take an oath, they call on someone greater than themselves to hold them to it. And without any question, that oath is binding. God also bound Himself with an oath, so that those who received the promise could be perfectly sure that He would never change His mind. So God has given both His promise and His oath to me and you. These two things are unchangeable because God's impossible from lying. Therefore, we who have fled to Him for refuge can have great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us. The hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls, It leads us through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary, where Jesus has already gone for us. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. That hope declared in Scripture this morning in Hebrews is before you in the table of Christ Jesus. Yes, this is the first Sunday of Advent. Yes, it's a Sunday where we begin to celebrate Christmas, a time of great joy and hope. This morning we specifically talk about hope and its goodness. This is the first Sunday of Advent. This morning we celebrate hope. We've described it somewhat in our hanging of the green ceremony, as well as the reading of the Advent candle. Our culture often defines hope as merely a fantasy, a wish perhaps, or a casual desire. Some may say, I hope tomorrow is a better day. Some may say, I hope to go on my dream vacation next year. Or I hope the Cubs win the World Series. Clearly, in these examples that I have given you, these things may or may not come true. The Cubs may not win. The vacation may never come. And tomorrow certainly could be a far worse day than the day you're in. However, the hope as believers that you and I believe in, that we celebrate this morning, is more than a desire or a wish. It is an unchangeable confidence that God has given us. Our faith in God gives us these circumstances, this unchangeable hope, this confidence in our lives that leaves no doubt in our mind who we serve and why we serve and who we live for. As followers of Jesus Christ, we have the same confidence as Abraham had this morning in Scripture. Abraham trusted in God's promise, and so do we. Thus, we are empowered by that confidence because we trust in the promises of the Holy Word. Hope is not mere optimism or wishful thinking. It's an essential part of our faith. When we hope in the Lord, the following benefits await us. Hope in the Lord gives us strength. It empowers us to do great things in the face of absolute uncertainty and opposition. Our culture teaches us to have self-confidence in ourselves. But as believers in Jesus Christ, as followers of His, our confidence rests in Him, in that relationship that we share with Him. You know, I find it interesting that we always have an example somewhere in our week about the sermons that I prepare and the message that I try to give you. And this week perhaps is one of those takeaways that I will always remember. I was preparing this message of hope, and at our Bible study, at our meal, our holiday meal that we shared with our class for both Thanksgiving and Christmas, we heard from one of our members from another church who's a faithful attendant of our Bible study, and he used this very example that I'm trying to convey to you. So I want to share quickly his story. For about a year and a half, he had been seeking a particular job. He had struggled because that job had opened and closed, and they hired for it, and then it reopened, and he applied, and he again applied a third time. And in this story, he says he finally gets his interview. He actually had two interviews, one previous and one this several weeks ago. And when he comes out of the interview, he said, I'd never done this in my life before, but this class has taught me to trust and have faith greater than I've ever had in my life. And so I sat down in the front seat of my car and I basically told the Lord, God, I've done all I can do. I've given it my best. It's in your hands now, and I will accept your decision. They told him in his interview that it would take him about 5 to 8 business days to make a decision, notify all the candidates, and call them back. He arrived home that afternoon about 3.5 hours following the interview. that early that afternoon. And when the phone rang, he recognized the number and he told himself, well, here we go. Here we go. What's going to happen, Lord? But I promise I'll follow your decision. Within 3.5 hours on a supposed 8-day wait for a candidate's notification, he was offered the job. I firmly believe in his story, his talents were important, his ability was important, but his faith and confidence and the hope that he had in Christ Jesus was much more important. He left it at the foot of the altar that day, and look what has happened to him. God has blessed him tenfold simply because he trusted him and he had patience. What a story. That's the hope that you and I live in. That's the biblical hope that you and I share as followers of Jesus Christ. Hope in the Lord brings encouragement. It brings it today as we celebrate together in worship. The hope that we share in this table before us will yet again give us the avenue by which we will share in yet another joyful meal of fellowship this afternoon immediately following worship. We encourage each other as Christ encourages us. We all know the feeling that we get at the end of a long week. The anticipation of the weekend lifts our spirits. Most of us feel that way somewhere about 9:30 on Monday morning because we're looking for Friday. That's the encouragement of hope. That's what we share as Christians in Christ. That's the hope that lifts us up each and every day. But you see, we're not weekend Christians. We're Christians every day. And that encouragement comes in many directions, in many ways, in many faces, in many paths that are crossed. That's the hope. That's the biblical hope that you and I have. That's the hope that's before us in the table. That's the hope that's before us in this Christmas tree and the chrismons and all the meanings and symbolisms of this Christmas season. That's the hope found in the candles. All of them, especially the one in the center. As Christ followers, we cannot allow bad things to intercede in our lives. They will come our way, but with biblical hope, we can forecast beyond them. Biblical hope is not some pipe dream or pie in the sky idea that we have as Christians. Biblical hope finds its foundation in the promises of God and His holy word. Biblical hope is centered on the work of the personal effects, both in His ministry, in His birth, in His death, and most importantly, in His resurrection. Those promises are found in the life of Jesus Christ. The hope that Christ offers us is beyond our ability to comprehend because it will never change. We live in an ever-changing world and society. Even in our own ministry, wherever we go, we always are adaptive to change. But Christ's hope doesn't change. Thus, we should never dismiss it in our lives. So as a promise to my wife, I have cut those 9-10 paragraphs out. Dave's already smiling. And I'm going to close this message with some examples for you. In closing, I want you to remember these things about this morning's worship service. I want you to remember what hope brings you in your life. The promise of God is that there will be a new heaven and a new earth. You can have immense hope in that because this is only one part of your life. You will share through your belief and faith, you will share an eternal life. What hope is that? That's the greatest weekend you can have on a Monday morning at 9:30. You're going to live eternally with God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, and all of the believers here on earth. This means that God will make, it's unchangeable, and this unchangeable hope is that God will make all things new in this world we live in. Our hope is completed through the return of Jesus. And that's what we celebrate in this table this morning. But I want to give you the examples of biblical hope before I leave the pulpit. And there are several. So hang in here. These all represent what I believe to be biblical hope. You have it. Share it. Speak it. Carry it with you. Live it and celebrate it this Advent season. The hope that I speak of shines brightest when the hour is darkest. I've seen it in this ministry. The hope that I speak of motivates when discouragement comes. I've seen it in this ministry. Hope energizes when the body is tired. I've seen it last night and yesterday in this ministry. Hope sweetens while bitterness bites. You'll see that today at lunch. Hope believes when evidence is eliminated. Hope listens to answers when no one's talking. Hope climbs over obstacles when no one's helping you. The hope that I speak about endures hardship when no one cares. The hope that we talk about this morning smiles confidently when not a soul is laughing. The hope that we talk about reaches for answers when no one is asking. Hope presses forward to victory when no one is encouraging. I see that daily in the ministry here at Bethel. Hope dares to give when no one is sharing. We do that each and every day. Hope brings the victory when no one is winning. You see, today, regardless if you can see the finish line, you already are victorious. And you're victorious because of the hope that is brought to you this morning in the sacrament of the Lord's table. Hope shares itself when you are broken. We've all experienced that. And here today before us is the bounty of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And in every element before you is hope, eternal hope, that today, regardless of how it may be, tomorrow will be better. And if not, the next day will slightly be better. And if not, the next day will be better. But if all your days were bad, and you have faith in Jesus Christ, you have received the victory over death, and you will have eternal life. That's what we celebrate this morning in this Advent season. That's the hope that comes with our faith. Amen.